Amen. Mark chapter 12 brings us to the closing part of Christ's earthly life and ministry. He is in the temple in Jerusalem, and he is about to leave the temple for the very last time before his crucifixion and his death. It's interesting to note that after his resurrection, he did not enter again. He did not visit the temple, because when he left it, you'll read in Matthew 23, the end of that chapter, he said, "Your house is left unto you desolate," and he would not return to it until the Jews would say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." So he's here for the last time, and Mark chapter 13 and verse 1 tells us he went out of the temple. So he's in the temple, and he's about to leave it for the very last time. And therefore, what he did in the temple just before he left it for the last time is most significant. We could sum it up in two ways, and we're going to focus on one of them. But before he left the temple for the final time, he condemned the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. You'll see in verses 38 to 40. He said unto them in his doctrine or his teaching, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces." Now, to get a fuller reading of the Lord's condemnation of the religious leaders, I would advise you to read Matthew chapter 23. It's the Lord's temple sermon, and he was scathing, we might say, blistering in his condemnation. He left no stone unturned. He left nothing unsaid. He told them they were hypocrites. He exposed their religious error, and he showed them that they were those that placed all the emphasis on outward religion, but they had no inward grace. And they were teaching the people that to be right with God, that they must do all the outward performances of religion while they neglected the reality of faith in the promised Messiah. And he tells them that because their emphasis was all on the outward and not upon inward grace and salvation, he called them the hypocrites. He denounced the woe of God upon them, and he said something very fearful and solemn at the end of verse 40, he said, "These shall receive greater damnation." And the word "greater" stands out, because just as you go to the courthouse today, and there are degrees of punishment that the judge can hand out for the severity of the offense committed, so it is taught in the Bible that when God judges man at the end of time, and those that will be separated from him for all eternity, there are degrees of punishment, severer and lesser. And isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus himself said that those who taught a false gospel, those who led the multitudes astray, they were the blind leading the blind, but those religious leaders who taught the false gospel and pointed men away from Jesus for salvation to ritual and to morality and all the rest of it, he said they would receive the greater damnation. You remember that the next time you hear someone expounding or preaching a false way of salvation. And they're still out there. And some, they still occupy pulpits in this land. And they tell men and women, you can get to heaven some other way apart from Christ. Do the best you can. Be as charitable as you can. Just do the best you can. Live by the moral code. You'll get to heaven. My friends, it's a false gospel. And as the Lord looked on those who preached a false gospel, and as they had rejected him for the false gospel, he said, these shall receive the greater damnation. So before he left the temple for the very last time, he condemned the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. But then he did something else. And this is really where we come to this morning in our theme, commended by Christ, because he commended a poor widow for her sacrificial giving. And you read it from verse 41 to verse 44, but if we have to highlight one text or one verse in that little section, it's verse 43. He called unto him his disciples. He called them over and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. As the people were entering the temple, it was Passover week. The place was crowded. There were multitudes going in and coming out of the temple. And the Lord, he seemed unmoved, but then this widow, and we're told nothing about her. We don't know her name. We don't know whether she was from Jerusalem or she traveled from some other place for the feast. Possibly, probably from Jerusalem, but we don't know. We're told nothing about her background. We are given no information about her other than she was a poor widow. And when she came into the temple, she put two mites into the treasury. And the Lord called the disciples over and he commends her. Verily, truly, I say unto you, this poor widow, he pointed her out. This poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in to the treasury. And the lesson is this. Oh, the Lord commands great faith. He commands great love. He commands great devotion. He commands a great ministry. He commands a service, a sacrificial service unto him. But the Lord commended the widow for her sacrificial giving to the work of the Lord. And that's the thought that I want to expound to you this morning in the time we have available and left to us. I want you firstly to notice verse 41. We're just going to work down this. I want you to look at verse 41 and see the position that Christ took. It says, Jesus sat over against the treasury. There's his posture. He's sitting. He took a seat right by the treasury. The place is identified. The treasury in the temple in one of the outer courts. We're told that there was a chest, like as the chest in the days of Jehoiada. And there was like a trumpet opening at the top, and then it went down into the chest. And as the people passed by, they would cast their gifts into the chest, and the mouthpiece of it that was like a trumpet, and they would cast it in, and then they would go on into the next court of the temple. And the Lord, he's sitting by the treasury. And you'll notice his purpose. And beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. The Lord was looking. And the Lord was watching. Now I want you to notice something here. Very, very important. The disciples weren't sitting. And the disciples weren't watching. Because the Lord, it tells us, he called unto him his disciples. Isn't that very interesting? They weren't standing all around the Lord as he was sitting there and watching. We're not told what they were doing, but they were at some other place doing something else in the temple, and the Lord had to call them over to speak to them. And I think that's a very important point to make. The disciples were not beholding as people went by and cast into their treasury. And the contrast is important because we are not to do our alms before men. Neither are we to be taken up with others as they're doing their alms. The Lord himself taught this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4 in his great Sermon on the Mount. Do not your alms before men. The Pharisees and the scribes, they loved to make a show of how much they gave to the temple or how much they gave to some work associated with it because people would think they were great and how great they were for the amount they gave. And the Lord said, you're not to be like the hypocrites. All they're looking is the praise of men. He said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. And he taught that almsgiving or giving our gifts to the Lord's work, it's to be done as secretly as possible. He says, you're not to behold and you're not to look the praise of men, and therefore you're not to do your alms before men. And as the disciples were not there beholding what was being cast in, we are not to be taken up with others on what they give or what they don't give. You know, that's one reason. I'm going back to pre-COVID times. That's one reason why when we took the offering in the meeting, that's one reason the minister would always sit down. It's so that he's not standing up looking down in the congregation as they're doing their alms. That's just a very practical point. Maybe you often wondered why the minister did that, but that is a reason. But I want to stress to you that while the disciples were not sitting and the disciples were not beholding, the Lord Jesus Christ was. The Lord was paying attention. And the Lord was watching. And he wasn't just watching what they gave. He was watching how, did you notice that in verse 41? And beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Let me illustrate this and give you a little illustration by contrast. The tax man. I don't think there's anybody here who works in the tax office. Maybe there are. My home church, there was a man working in the tax office. Was a member. So we always had to watch what he said about the tax man. But the tax man's not worried how you give. I think we'd be right in saying, let me just say this. I don't want to go off script too long here, but Jesus did teach we're to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and he was particularly speaking in relation to paying our taxes. We're to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But I say that all of us, there's none of us, I think if we could get out of it or we could give a little less, we would do that. And the taxman really doesn't care whether you give it begrudgingly or you give it with a frown on your face. He doesn't care how you give. As long as you pay what he says you owe, he's happy enough. But the Lord's different than the tax man. He's interested not only in what we give. He's interested in how we give. Now let me apply that. And let me say the Lord still has a treasury in his church and in his work. The Lord taught himself we are not to leave the tithe undone. Matthew 23, verse 23. It was in the same temple sermon. And one of the things he said to the scribes and Pharisees, he says, you tithe of anise, mint, and cumin, the things they grew in their garden. They were so careful to give a tenth of those things into the temple, to the Lord's work. But he says, you neglect the greater matters of judgment, law, and mercy.
And he told them that they must focus on those greater matters, judgment, law, and mercy. And then he said this, but don't leave the other undone. Don't leave the tithing undone. The Lord taught the tithe. And the Lord still has a treasury in his New Testament church. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul, he said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have written in order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, and there be no gatherings when I come. Upon the first day of the week, we're to lay by or lay up for the Lord's work, as God hath prospered him. And you'll notice, the Lord still has a treasury for his work. And he's saying that on the first day of the week, we're to lay aside, we're to give proportionately unto the Lord, as the Lord has prospered. And what was the standard? Well, in the Old Testament, it was the tenth. And let me just say a little word there. That's the word. The word tithe means the tenth. And there are some Christians and some even in evangelical circles, and they'll say, well, that was only under the law of Moses, and we're no longer under the ceremonies and the laws of Moses, and we're under grace, and it doesn't apply. Let me say this. Abraham gave the tenth to Melchizedek, Christ, long before Moses. Jacob, when he was converted at Bethel, he says, I'll give the tenth of all that I have. And we find in the New Testament that Paul... And there are very important verses. I think we should turn to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said, the principle of Old Testament giving in the tabernacle was to follow through to the New Testament church. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. These are some of the most important verses. 1 Corinthians 9, I give the right chapter. It's the verse 13 and 14. Some of the most important verses when it comes to a Christian giving unto the Lord's work. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? He's speaking about the Old Testament temple. He's writing, he's saying, do you not know those that ministered holy things, the priests and the Levites in the Old Testament times, they lived, they were kept, they were provided for of the things of the temple, that which was given to the temple and the cause of the temple. Those that ministered in those things lived of the things that were given to the temple. And they that wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Now notice verse 14. Even as it was in the Old Testament, even so hath the Lord ordained that they that preach the gospel should live off the gospel. And he's saying that the Old Testament principles of giving to the cause and the house of God, they are to be followed through even in New Testament times. So therefore, I repeat again, the Lord still is a treasury. The Lord is looking upon his people. We're not to be looking, but the Lord is watching as we make our contributions, and he wants to know, and he's taking note not only what we give, but how we give. And if you consider 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, let me just say, I'm not going to take the time to turn to the verse. You can turn it up. The Lord says we are to give joyfully and liberally. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Dear child of God, it should rejoice our hearts when, like that poor widow, we come to cast in before the Lord and worship him with our tithes and offerings. And the point I'm stressing is this, the position Christ took, he watched, he paid attention, and he viewed what was going on in relation to the treasury of his house. But I want you to turn back to Mark 12. And I want you to see not only the position Christ took, but I want you to look at the portion Christ saw. Look at verse 42. And we should read the end of verse 41 to get the contrast. How the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much.
And there came a... that didn't move the Lord, by the way. But then there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. The Lord saw this widow cast in 2 mites that make a farthing. That's the portion He saw her contribute. And what can we say about those 2 mites? Well, it was a small portion. In Matthew 10 and 29, we're told it was a sum of 2 sparrows. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing? Humanly speaking, it was a small or paltry sum. We might well ask the question, well, what good could such a small contribution do? Maybe if others knew what the widow was given, she may have been embarrassed that it was so small and so little. And yet, the Lord was moved by it. You see, the Lord draws to our attention in His Word how He uses the small things. Those 2 pennies did more for God's kingdom in 2,000 years than every other gift at Passover week that week. For those 2 pennies have inspired multitudes to give from their little. The hymn says, if you cannot cross the ocean and the heathen lands explore, you can find the heathen closer, you can find them at your door. If you cannot give your thousands, you can give your widow's mite, and the least you give or for Jesus will be precious in His sight. Little is much when God is in it. And those 2 pennies, may they move the Savior. I think I'm going from memory now. I think it was Robert Moffat, great Scottish missionary. He was the first missionary to Africa from Scotland. If you can read his life, I encourage you to do it. There's a summary of his life in a book called A Scottish Christian Heritage. And I think it was him, but don't quote me on this, for my memory's not as sharp as it used to be. He stated that it was the small offerings of the common people that sustained him as a missionary to Africa. It was either him or Livingstone. But the point they were making was that it was the small contributions of God's people when it all came together. It sustained him as a missionary to Africa. You might think that you can only give a little, but it's precious in the eyes of the Lord, and it can go to contribute to a great work for the Savior. Let us not despise the day of small things. But not only was that portion small, that portion was sacrificial. And I think this is what really moved the Lord to commend her. For it tells us in the words of verse 43, truly I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury, for they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And it's that little phrase, all her living. Commentators believe it was her alliance. The widows were the poorest of the poor in the days of the Lord. They were dependent on their family. There was no state aid, no state pension. In the days of the Savior, you either worked, your family kept you, or you begged in the street. And oftentimes the widow may have been left with no one, and she was the poorest, one of the poorest in society. And it seems to be that this widow, yes, she was poor, but there was someone who gave her perhaps a weekly allowance of just these two mites, these 2 pennies. And at that time, it was all of her living, all of her allowance, and she cast it all in before the Lord. Therefore, it was sacrificial for her. for she gave all that she had, and she sacrificed personally for the work and the cause of the Lord. You know, her spirit, it condemns that attitude. I haven't heard it in recent years, but I remember hearing folk talk about it, the widow's mite. Well, we'll just give the widow's mite. But they were looking at the small contribution, but they had much, much more left over. That's not what the widow did. She gave sacrificially. And that's why the Lord commended her. What a challenge it is. And listen, I don't want you to think the preacher's standing apart here today. For everything I preach, I seek to apply to my own heart. The preacher's no different. Those that minister about the things of God are no different. The Lord commends sacrificial giving unto His work. May that be a challenge to us. It was small, but it was sacrificial as far as she was concerned, and it was significant. It was significant in the eyes of the Lord. How different heaven's arithmetic is to ours. The Lord measures our giving not by what we give, but by what we keep. He said, she hath given all that she has had. The rich cast in of their wealth, but they had much in store. She gave all her daily, her weekly allowance, all her living, and it seems that she kept nothing back for that time. How significant it was to move the Lord. And I believe that's why the Lord commanded. There's a little chorus I learned in Sunday school, and I think it was speaking not merely about our gifts to the Lord's work, but also our lives. And the chorus went, all that I have, I was based on this portion, all that I have, I will give Jesus. All that I have. That's what the widow did. And the Lord commended her for it. I want you to see one final thing. It's really just the praise that he gave. Look at the first part of verse 43 again. The position he took. He sat and he watched. The portion that he saw, this poor woman, she gave something. It was small in the eyes of the world, but it was a sacrifice to her. And it was significant in the eyes of the Lord. And therefore he praised her. He called unto him his disciples. I find that amazing, folks. He stopped what he was doing. There had been many who had gone before, many who had cast in to the treasury, to the chest. But when this widow passed, it actually moved, it physically moved the Lord. And he called over, I don't know how, did he go and get them himself, or if he was like me, did he call them? Tells us he did call them. He called them over. He said, verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they. He pointed her out to the disciples. He didn't point her out to all the public, just to the disciples. He wanted them to learn the lesson. Look at that widow. She's despised in the eyes of the world. No one else is taking notice of her. But the King and Head and Savior of the church, he said to his disciples, look at that woman. She's an example. Praised her. Praised her to the disciples. I want you to see, and I'm almost done. I'm almost finished, but please take note of this. It seems that the praise the Lord gave this woman was unknown to her. He didn't call the woman back. And he didn't say to the poor widow, just stand there a moment. Now, Peter, James, John, and the rest, this woman is an example of sacrificial giving and commend her there in front of them all. She was going on her business. That's the sense that I take from this. He called them and he said, there's that woman. It seems that she did not know or was unaware that the Lord commended her to the disciples. And there's another tremendous lesson there, child of God, that you should always remember in the work of the Lord. Because there may be times we definitely wonder, does anyone else notice the service we give for the Lord? And we certainly, nobody else should know what we give to the Lord, but in relation to our gifts and our offerings. But sometimes we maybe even wonder, does the Lord take note? Does the Lord take note? Well, of course he does. Of course he takes note. And his blessing and his praise is upon certain aspects of our life and our service. But we'll not get the public well done until we meet him at the throne. For then he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. And oh, what a blessing it will be at the judgment day when we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. There will be things that you will feel have gone unnoticed on earth, and the Lord will commend you publicly for them then. And that woman, my, she knows now the Lord commended her. She knows now the Lord noted her. She knows now that it's written in the book for people 2,000 years later to take an example of. But I'm not sure she knew then. I tell you, there's a day coming when the Lord will publicly commend us. We'll stand before the Lord. We'll give an account before the Lord of our Christian lives for him. Maybe you think there's things you do for the Lord now and they go unnoticed. My, the Lord, will he does see it. You have his praise and his blessing upon you, and he will give you that public well done when you stand before the throne. I think, too, the praise was probably unexpected. Maybe the disciples thought the Lord was going to praise some of the others who had passed by that day, but it was the poor widow. And I think on the judgment day, there will be surprises in store. The Lord said, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. There'll be a surprise. And therefore, I say to you, labor on for the Lord. Serve him with your life, with your gifts, and with your offerings in the knowledge that he sees and takes note of all. And his commendation is upon those who live for him and serve him. May we, like that little widow, and the little chorus says, want to give to him all that we have, all that we have, all our lives, tithes and offerings. May we not leave it undone, and may we have the commendation of